And we thought earlier in the day this might be coming, the Senate approving the deal to end the shutdown. Now what? Ellen Radner from Talk Radio News starts things off with us. Ellen, this was inevitable that this was going to happen, right? Didn't we hear this buzz earlier in the day, like I said?
Yes, and they agreed to it. And what happened is Ted Cruz could have put it off for a while but decided not to. And therefore the vote went ahead. Had he said he was going to filibuster it, it would have had to start in the House. The House vote, although as the time we are talking right now has not been complete, is going to have mainly Democrats and some Republicans. They're not going to be relying on the Tea Party people. And the sort of Tea Party senators, not all of them Tea Parties, but those in sympathy, the 18 that voted against it, obviously they were somewhat marginalized.
Yeah. So with that being said, with those numbers, still a chance that, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, saying earlier, hey, we fought the good fight. So he's kind of signaling. Isn't that a signal? Hey, we're tossing in, throwing up the white flag.
Well, yes, except that they're very determined to try and make changes in Obamacare. And we'll see what happens on that front.
Wow.
I just don't know.
Yeah, and I guess now the furloughed, some of those that are still furloughed are waiting to see. They should be notified, obviously, if that happens. That could happen, overnight, seemingly, because it's kind of that partial shutdown deal. You've been in and out of Washington, and even with some people coming back, has it been still kind of like a slower D.C. or no?
Well, it's interesting because it has been a much slower D.C., but I don't know where all the traffic is coming from at the end of the day. It's not so bad in the morning. Somehow, at the end of the day, I don't know what everybody comes into town to do, but it's crazy. The traffic's been pretty bad. But, we'll see. I think people will be back at work tomorrow, and I think that the museums will open and tourism will start, and that will be a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing for sure. All right, Ellen Radner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So it is official. Congress avoids a default. The shutdown is over. You won't find that anywhere when you flip on the tube or you listen to shows like this one, because they pressed up against the deadline, as we suspected, 16 days of that partial shutdown, and it culminates in pushing the ball forward, kicking the can down the road, if you will, because still we'll have to deal with this, or they'll have to deal with this. The government will be funded through January 15th, and the debt ceiling is pushed. You can borrow through February 7th. These are deadlines that we talked about before, and they were adopted. So the Senate voted first. It was bipartisan, 81 to 18, rather. And then the final vote in the House was 285 to 144. So just a couple hours after that voting, just a short while ago, Republicans conceded defeat, I think, my friends, after a long struggle. And we'll let you hear what the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, had to say. A lot of reaction to now the fact that this is done, and it's a question of cutting a deal and still fine-tuning everything, because it's not... The numbers aren't in place. It's just a Band-Aid. It's that Band-Aid we were talking about. And eventually you have to rip the Band-Aid off. The Treasury Secretary probably breathed the biggest sigh of relief of all, because his job would have been made that much worse, Jacob Lew, if they couldn't come to terms. So we've hit that $16.7 trillion debt limit. That's frightening, isn't it? And we couldn't have borrowed to meet the obligation. So now we can do that as a government. We can do that. If you are what you would describe as a Tea Party person, how do you feel? Do you feel as though this was a throwing in the towel moment and shouldn't have happened? Or, okay, we took it as far as we could and this is what had to happen at this point? Texas Senator Ted Cruz and some others agreed not to use the Senate's 18th century rules, because he could have done that, as you heard Ellen say there, to slow the progress. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. They didn't, they just went forward, started to take the vote, and then that was it. So the GOP leadership told the rank and file, basically, that they would vote for the measure, and there was little or no doubt it would pass both houses and reach the White House in time for the signature right before midnight, because the deadline was 11:59, of course, if you want to say that, 1 minute before midnight. So once again, Cinderella doesn't turn into a pumpkin, or is that exactly what happened? Some people are coming out in favor of the negotiations and some not. And still, there is the fallout to Obamacare. There's no significant changes at all to the Affordable Health Care Act. Nothing on any of the other entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, all that stuff, that have, you know, trillions, basically, in unfunded liabilities. That's one of the reasons why there's been a tug of war over that. And no big spending cuts either. So they're kicking the can, as I said. I can't think of any other clever way to tell you that. This is just a Band-Aid that gets pushed out and eventually somehow rubber stamped. And that's usually what happens when we get to these points where this is what we're doing. So it started on October 1st. This was after Cruz and his allies in the House said, we want the defunding of the health care law as a trade for funding the government, and it didn't happen. And the back and forth and all the shenanigans and the games are now at least over for this moment, but they'll continue again. And workers are coming back, all workers back already. Yosemite is open. So if you wanted to see the bats in the dark, you could go to Yosemite because that park opened and all the other ones are opening too as well. They'll be back on Thursday. So the Republicans in the end, in some of the polls, took it pretty hard, you know, got smashed around as it's their blame, it's their fault. Then the Democrats met them as far as they could, and then they tried to take advantage. But regardless, what matters is to me, there is no doubt, if there was a doubt before, that Congress could not have a more horrible reputation with the people they represent than right now, this time in history. People in the past have been frustrated. There have been protests in Washington since we have established the government. But there is a lot of frustration, a lot of frustration. And the Speaker of the House, who I thought was on shaky ground leadership-wise, got a standing ovation. He got a standing ovation. So how about that? After this 2 weeks, they stood up for Boehner. Everybody stood up for Boehner. And he did throw in that Obamacare is still an abomination. Taxes are still too high, spending is high, and Washington is getting in the way of growth. But as the band is playing really loud tonight, they're celebrating by the fact that they were able to not go into default, and all the doom and gloom headlines, at least for now, don't come true. But trust me, they still can in the next couple of months. Stay with us. I'll let you hear the vote and some reaction next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources, Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
The government opening up, no more showdown, shutdown, any of that kind of stuff. It's done. There still are a lot of particulars to be ironed out, but everybody's back to work or is expected back to work tomorrow. Parks open up, all that sort of stuff. So 15, 16 days of this, are you weary? As I said, I think the government in general takes a black eye on whatever side you want to pick, but there still is the idea of somebody's to blame. And what do we lose, $25 million or $25 billion in all of this because of the shutdown and now paying back the money to the people who were furloughed? So we're the taxpayers. That's money that was thrown out across the craps table that we had no chance of really pulling out of a win out of it, I think, except for that the default could have been even more horrific, especially for some people who are tied in any way to the stock market, because one whiff of bad news and we know how it tanks. And it could have dropped by hundreds and hundreds of points when the stock market opened in the morning, but because the government's reopened, that most likely does not happen. Doesn't happen unless there's a problem with the company or the basket of stocks that you have, maybe for a 401k or something that you just have for yourself. So 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. That's the number to call to react to what we thought was going to be the inevitable, that it wasn't going to get pushed through November. There was conversation about that, but it didn't happen. There was one congressman, Congressman Dana Rohrabacher of California. He's been on the show once or twice in the past. Said he learned one thing. He said, don't bite off more than you can chew, because of this whole fight of throwing in Obamacare into the middle of this and saying that, you know, that this wasn't happening from the get-go. Pete King from New York pushed more Republicans to speak up about Senator Ted Cruz and condemn him, he said, for what he did. The Houston Chronicle where Cruz, of course, is from Texas, backing him when he was running, so they no longer back Cruz. That was one of the big headlines in the morning before all of this was resolved. So the knives are still out, and they're looking for places to land. And if you were going to stick a knife into virtually into somebody on this whole thing, who would it be? And Ted Cruz seems to be bearing the brunt of it, but he certainly isn't the only one. I talked about John Boehner. John Boehner gets the standing ovation, but Boehner, to me, seemed very weak in the leadership department while we were making our way through the shutdown. So he keeps the job of speaker for now, but I don't know that he hangs on to that for very long. I think there was some damage done here in the leadership category. And ultimately in Washington, we're back to the same thing. Who are the true leaders? Who are the true leaders? I mean, the whole budget excuse thing is such a bad beat anyway. It's ridiculous. There are no words left to describe that. There are no words for this. It should not have happened. If there's a lesson to learn, it's, geez, maybe the next time around, they can start negotiating the second the Congress resumes at the beginning of the year. Wow, we start a new session? Let's start to talk about the budget for next year. Let's start to do it now. And here's the thing. When some of the trickier parts of affordable care start to get rolled out, I think the Republicans, unless it goes a different way, I think the Republicans would really have been the beneficiaries, if you will, of that anyway, because people are realizing that they're not getting what they thought was free health insurance. And some are losing the health insurance they really like, or the doc. The family doctor down the street, and they're not going to like that. When somebody knows, that's the whole thing about medicine. And any of you have been to a doctor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There is, you can have the greatest doctor in the world, but there is a guessing game to it when something's wrong with you. And when you have the same family doctor, they know you. They know your history. They know everything about you as you've gone in through the years for different little ailments or something that happens. And there's a trust there. But that trust is all shot up when all of a sudden you have to go to other people. You have no clue who it's going to be because it depends on how the health care rolls out for you. So the true realities, and I've said this from the beginning, the true realities of the situation of affordable health care will start to smack people square between the eyes. Now, I think if you really, really have it rough, I mean, if you just are not making ends meet at all, maybe some of the health care coverage that's offered will work for you, but then the problem is still going to be the same. Even if it's the lowest they could possibly offer you for decent health care coverage, it still is going to be too much. And the middle class people, who mostly are doing the check-to-check thing, a lot are, they're going to be stuck as well because of the increase in the premiums, and also the kind of coverage that they're getting, the kind of money that they're going to have to pay. Gone are those days where, you know, you work for somebody and really the healthcare coverage was 90%. It was crazy. You go to a doctor and it costs nothing. It costs nothing for the pharmacy either. And now it's a much different story. Some drugs aren't covered. And it's you truly have to navigate your way around healthcare. So, to me, the impatient Republicans, if they would have held tight, would be the beneficiaries in the end, and will be the beneficiaries in the end if the affordable healthcare continues to hit people the way it is. Because that's what's happening. They're getting letters that in January the premium's going up. And it's not going up $10. It's not going up $20. It's not going up $100. In some cases, it's going up 3 times. How do you afford that? But then you're scared to death because if you have kids, and it depends on your particular situation, and you will have to have insurance there, concerned about what could happen. So there's going to be people that at least by 2016 will have had enough of it, but probably in 2014 too as well. So there's clearly going to be some losers on the Democratic side, I think, when it comes to health care. But who are the losers this time around, now that a deal was struck and before the clock, you know, went tick-tock and went over the midnight hour, a deal was finally settled. And, you know, this Band-Aid approach of government is nauseating, isn't it? Like I said, then they need to start negotiating once they start a new session again, because they can't seem to get it right. Super committees, other conferences, it just never works. So there is an art to give and take, and eventually that has to happen, because you can't keep having a government that costs money in a shutdown, that has people out not working, and then brings them back in and pays them, and that's all taxpayer money that is just thrown into the wind, or as a friend of mine would say, thrown down the rat hole. Money that we could use for other things that we desperately need. Money that doesn't need to be thrown away because nobody's cutting deals and figuring it out. Nobody's figuring it out that, okay, you do this, we do that. I mean, there needs to be, I think, a little bit of a timeout. And I truly believe that if I were a representative and I were in the middle of this mess, I'll tell you what, I would have some real heart-to-heart conversations with the people I represent. I would try to go beyond the town halls and see how they're feeling about the things that have happened and the ripple effects from Washington, D.C. And was this the right strategy? Was it the right strategy for the Democrats? Was it the right strategy for the Republicans? Senator John McCain, who's been through a bunch of these, said he didn't like the strategy from the beginning that led to the shutdown, the partial shutdown. And he said this is a lesson that has to be learned. He said it's one that he learned in 1995. So he didn't want to see it repeated, but repeated it was. However, it's over now. The government is officially reopened as of really just a couple hours ago. 855-266-5283. Come on, throw in your 2 cents next on America Tonight.
Hi, this is John Greenhut, the CEO of PowerSwabs, and I know how important a great smile is in business and with loved ones. Having a great smile will increase the odds that your loved ones will get closer to you, and in business, that you'll impress that client. A recent study of 2,000 people said you can look up to 13 years younger if you have whiter teeth. If you want to erase yellow stained teeth in just 5 minutes a day, then try PowerSwabs. What makes PowerSwabs better is that it works on natural teeth and veneers. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Call now and try it risk-free. Dial 1-800-963-8533. That's 1-800-963-8533. I guarantee your friends will notice your new white smile. Get it risk-free. 1-800-963-8533. That's 1-800-963-8533.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
S-O-N-E-C-T, hallelujah, C-T, hallelujah, C-T, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Well, guess who's in the wings to talk with us from Project 21, Horace Cooper, and this is something so many of you I know will just go nuts over. A federal agency trying to guess the race of people based on only their driver's license photos, their names, then using what they've deducted that way as now the basis for a lawsuit alleging racial bias. Wow. So Project 21 joined in on the amicus brief by the Pacific Legal Foundation, and of course the gist of this is they're alleging the government's use of racial stereotypes is unconstitutional and demeaning. This brings up a whole big Pandora's box when you think of the idea of profiling and all the stuff that's happened in Arizona, and then this blatantly run under our noses. Horace, as always, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great topic to be presenting on, and I'm glad to be able to come on your show tonight.
Yeah, so tell me more about this. Tell me more about this lawsuit.
Okay, so the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is responsible for enforcing in the private sector hiring decisions made by private employers, and they are responsible to see to it that every employer gives every American who's eligible to work a fair shot and in some way prevent or minimize the likelihood of discrimination. Well, apparently, it's the EEOC's view that they have solved all other kinds of traditional types of discrimination, so they have to come and invent new types of discrimination. And they announced to the Kaplan Corporation that they were going to take the background check requirement, credit check, sometimes even arrest record check and the like, and call that a new form of racial discrimination. Now, implicit in this is that you can just look at a person and you can tell that because they're black, they have a bad credit record, or because they're black, they've been convicted of a felony. Now, you and I know that's not true, and if David Duke said it, he'd be pulled off the stage. But the EEOC actually is accusing employers all across the country of, when you have a requirement that you do a credit check or any kind of background check on a potential employee, what you're really doing, they say, is you're just trying to prevent blacks from getting jobs. So Kaplan responded with, I have no idea what you're talking about. We don't even look at the race of any of the applicants at this stage. We're just looking at the very, very initial process of examining someone who says, I'm interested in one of your openings. And we get thousands of these, and we limit them to the actual vacancies that we have, the locations that we have, the skills they identify, and we do this background check. But we do it regardless of what their color or anything is, and we don't even put on our application, please tell us what your race is. So we don't have any way of even knowing what this is. So how can you claim that we're discriminating against blacks? Well, the EEOC said, we're smarter than you. We're going to subpoena all of your application documents. And they did. And then they hired some, you can't see the air quotes on the radio, but they hired some consulting firm to look up and purchase, at taxpayer expense, the DMV photos of as many of the applicants as they could find. And then they had these consultants guess what the race of the individual people were. Now, I want to say one thing right off the front. They didn't determine that half of the black applicants turned out to have poor credit or had some kind of arrest record. In fact, it was less than 10% of them. It just was slightly fewer whites that had bad credit and arrest records. According to the EEOC, that slight little difference is sufficient for them to come in and intervene. Now, the reason we joined in on this is we think it is outrageous that the government believes that all they got to do is see a picture of you and they know what racial category to put you in. Now, I have a driver's license and it's got a photo on there, and I'm actually glad that I'm not close to the age of 21 anymore, so I don't have to flash it. It wasn't my best picture, but I didn't take it for the purpose of it being shown around. The idea that these government bureaucrats believe they can use those pictures and make determinations. You can barely tell in some pictures whether people are male or female, let alone you know what their race is. So we believe that this is an outrageous overreach, and it includes assumptions that somehow one race group is more likely to have bad credit than another or more likely to be criminal than another. How dare the federal government start with propositions like that?
Yeah, no kidding. When you think of how PC often we're talking the reverse things are, this is insane. You know, even to mention when we're talking about the TSA and getting through and clearing people through flights, they freak out.
In Arizona, and they said, look, we're just trying to say to folks who are illegally in this country, you got no business being here, and if we catch you in a traffic stop, we're going to ask you to produce information to help us be sure that you're who you say you are. What did the government do? Oh, we went apoplectic. Oh, you're anti-Latino. You're bigoted. You're all of these crazy schemes. Meanwhile, people in Arizona are having to be stuck with the price tab of all the people who are illegally using their benefits. But in this case, now it's like, oh, no, it's perfectly fine for the government to go out of its way and try to ascertain what your racial category may be. Now, what happens if your mom's white and your dad's Asian? Did the lookers at the picture understand that that could occur? What happens if one of your grandparents is black, but your mom and dad are not? You know, this whole concept is very violating of people's privacy. It certainly has no interest in accepting whatever people put forward as their information. Are you going to now tell someone, no, you can't be white? That's what we used to do. We call that Jim Crow. Mm. You can't get here on the bus because you're not this category, or you got to sit in the back, or you can't use this door. If the government really so desperate to find excuses to charge employers with discrimination that you don't even know this, there's no person complaining. There's no person that stood up and said, I wanted to work at Kaplan. They didn't hire me because I'm black. No, no, no. They don't have anything like that. This is, we're digging and digging and digging so that we can find some excuse. Here's the truth. If I'm Walmart, if I'm Home Depot, and I have people working with lots of dollars every day, it's important to know, have you ever stolen anything? Have you been convicted of crimes involving financial matters? How do you handle your personal affairs? That's important to me. And there's another reason why it's important to me, not just because I want to be a good employer. If I hire you and you do something while you're at work that injures someone else, guess who's responsible? The employer is. You can't say to the employer, no, 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 no. You can't check those things, but if they do something they shouldn't have done, we're going to hold you responsible because you should have stopped them from doing it.
Wow, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, that imbalance, it's nuttiness. I don't understand this at all. And it was thrown out once, so now on appeal, dude, what do you think will happen on appeal? There's always the danger, as you know, but what do you think happens?
This case is very unlikely to get to the Supreme Court because it's very unlikely that we're going to find any courts that are going to say yes to this kind of zaniness. The real fear is how many employers are going to be intimidated, how many employers are going to relax their standards, and then when you think you can leave your car, leave your wallet, give your financial information, hand it over to a person, and that gets abused, well, who's going to be held responsible? The government needs to understand you can never repeal the law of unintended consequences. But when you do zany stuff, like telling people, I know you're black, I know you're a woman, whether you say you are or not, you violate people's privacy, you violate people's rights, and you end up getting the government in the business where it never should be.
Right, and then once it happens, as you say, that's where it can really spread like wildfire and you just don't know, and that's why you have to be vigilant about it. That's why it's, I'm sure that's why immediately as soon as you saw that you jumped up and that's when you go for the amicus brief because you want in on that because it's just absolutely a clear violation, don't you think?
Yeah, we have to stamp this out. It's got to be stopped. We got to have people standing up and saying no to this. The problem is when decent people of goodwill who are not minorities say, I just really think this is strange. They get yelled at as bigot, 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 racist.
I know.
So we want to come in and say, well, wait a second. We can see the same thing, too. And we think it's zany. We think it's crazy. We aren't bigots. By definition, according to the progressives, you can't be a bigot if you're a minority. No, I'm not going to even get into the falsities of that. But the point here is it's important for groups like ours to stand up and call them out on it. And we certainly wouldn't want, you know, I'll give a simple example to many of your listeners. You can never rely really on government. It always is going to let you down at the last minute. People who get the food stamp assistance found out the whole system went down over the weekend. Oh, hadn't done your grocery shopping? Well, too bad. System's down. We'll have to work on it. Walmart, in at least one state in Louisiana, let people come in and just buy whatever they wanted and said, we'll deal with the consequences later. That's what the private sector does when they're trying to be helpful and accommodate to people. If you're going to punish the private sector, if you're going to penalize them, then they're not going to be doing things like that. And they'll start saying, oh, well, we won't accept the SNAP card check. We won't accept these kinds of applicants. We're going to start requiring everyone to have a college degree. This has unintended consequences that can harm everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're out of time. Horace Cooper, great stuff. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on tonight.
The only way I can figure it is not that they don't like graffiti, is that they don't like something they can't control. And we'll stop the rest of graffiti. But it didn't work out like that because, you know, it'll be fine for me.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network, two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event, absolutely free, October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com. It's been said, those who control the food control the people. Are you concerned about GMO foods making you sick and affecting your mind? Many people suffer from lack of energy, insomnia, loss of stamina, weight gain, and the inability to think clearly. Genetically modified crops, processed foods, and toxic chemicals can compromise your health and are silently destroying your digestive system, which accounts for 80% of your immune system. Take back control of your health with Pro-EM1 Probiotic from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 Probiotic helps protect your body against irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, diabetes, the common cold, and much more. And including a powerful probiotic like Pro-EM1 as part of your daily routine puts you back in control and prevents you from becoming a mindless zombie manipulated by the pharmaceutical and GMO agendas. Call Terraganics at 866-369-3678 or visit Terraganics.com. TerraGanix.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
I think it'll happen tomorrow. There's really no reason for it not to. Well, listen, we've been locked in a fight over here, trying to bring government down to size, trying to do our best to stop Obamacare. We fought the good fight. We just didn't win. There's no giving up on our team. None. And there's no giving up in me.
That's the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. Of course, it's all a done deal now. At this point, the government reopens and the dates get pushed, the dates that we've been talking about now, that the Senate came up with as well. So it's the same story. The budget, ultimately, the process that we'll go back to again, funding the government through January, part of January, and then lifting the debt ceiling and pushing that limit until February is exactly what we thought would happen, but perhaps it would take a little bit longer, only through Wednesday night to avoid the threatened national default. So the 16-day partial government shutdown is over. The high-stakes drama is over. The Republicans folded. The Republicans folded. How do you feel about that, folks? Yay or nay? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Some say thumbs up. Got one from Eric today that says, bravo, bravo. They finally realized I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I really don't hate the Republicans, but they screwed the pooch, Kate. Then I got this one from Jacob listening to us in Texas, longtime listener. He said, Kate, I'll tell you what, I've been playing this drama out each and every night. I'm a third shifter, and I love listening to your show, but it's so ridiculous how the Republicans messed up. I am a card carrying conservative. And I have to tell you, I think that John Boehner messed up, and I think that his minions messed up as well. They should have stood firm and held their ground. If they were going to start something, they needed to finish it. So what do you say, America? 855-266-5283. Let's throw this in. One person who was happy was the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. His brief but quick words afterwards.
I'm very happy that we just completed a bipartisan vote to reopen the government and to avert a default on our bills.
All right, so you heard Boehner, you heard Reid. Let's hear from you as well. Tomas in Michigan. Hey, Tomas, what do you think now that the Republicans folded before the river card was turned over?
You know, there really wasn't too much of fire breathing going on in the House. You know, if you want to do this, you need leadership. We had Cruz in the Senate, but who did we have in the House out there that was really, you know, standing up and breathing fire? And they had over 100 Republicans that voted no. Now, if they really wanted to stop this, they could have gone to the rest of the Republicans and said, look, we have 100 Republicans here that are ready right now to form a third party if the rest of you guys let this go through. And if we form a third party, Republicans lose the House. So you decide. You can either stop Obamacare or you can lose the House.
Right.
Okay? They could have done that, but they didn't. So, you know, it's like the quantitative easing. If you hear, you know, you hear that, you don't hear anybody complaining about that, Republican or Democrat, you know?
Right.
If they wanted to, they could stop that. That's $3 billion every day, Kate. You know?
I know.
But you read a couple of emails, and they both sounded like the same thing, that they don't respect the Republican Party because, you know, they can dislike them, and it's all right if you are disliked as long as that is tied to respect. You know,
right.
Two boxers go at it, they may dislike each other, but if they respect each other after the fight, you see, then they both came out strong. And who respects the Republican Party now? I'll tell you what, there's just no reason why we should expect anything when February comes around. February comes around, the same thing's going to be happening. They're going to be talking about the debt ceiling. And, you know, they might come up with some little extra thing there. But they're going to keep that debt ceiling going.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we need a third party. This shows again, and I don't know how many times we said this on your show.
Yep.
You just can't have two parties. You have to have more than that, or else it's too easy to bribe them. Anyway,
I agree.
Okay.
I agree right from the beginning. You know that, Tomas. You and I agree on that. Absolutely. There needs to be a third party. And you're also right that there was no really strong voice in the House. It was just Cruz on the other side in the Senate, and he was outmanned there for sure. That was not going to happen. But in the House, there was nobody that was really that outspoken. There were plenty of people that jumped on the bandwagon, but there was nobody really carrying the mantle for it ever. Because it certainly wasn't Boehner. Tepidly, he would say things about Obamacare, or we need to do this. But then he would kind of back around it. So it was not him. That's why I threw him in the dungeon at the beginning of the week and said he doesn't have the leadership anymore. Mitch McConnell didn't want any parts of that in the Senate, and influenced, I think, some of the people in the House as well. So in the end, what happens with the president? Is it a win? What I'm reading from Washington, some of the headlines, a rare win for the president. So what is the prize? The prize is more debt is what the prize is. Because we're already at that $16 trillion and counting mark. And now that gets lifted. So health care reform stays in place. The government swings its doors back open, but it's the same political system as Tomas was referring to, where we're stuck. We're stuck in this situation, and there has to be something that smashes it open. And what is it? There have been others that have tried before, other candidates, and trying to do the third-party thing. But really, in the future, there needs to be, I think there does need to be a third party. I think it would make a big difference. And so what happens now, too, with the Republicans? It's a reality check. It's a reality check, really, for the left and the right. I mean, we're stuck in this partisan limbo until the 2014 midterms roll around. And it's not just, it really isn't just the GOP. I mean, we're stuck. We're stuck in the middle of this. We're in quicksand. They threw us in quicksand. And more, when you're a kid, when you first get out of school, or if you don't go to school and you go to work, you're not thinking when you're 19, 20, 21, you're not thinking, oh yeah, I'm paying my taxes. You're paying them. You know it. You're aware of it. But then as you start to get a little bit older, you start to think about that. Well, wait a second. What are they doing with my money? I understand that nothing's 100% perfect, but how much money did we waste, as I said at the top of the hour, on all of this nonsense? Where it ends up in the same place. It's just a Band-Aid. That Band-Aid could have been voted on sooner, and we could have kept $20 to $25 billion in play. Instead, it gets thrown out because it's money that was part of, that has to be paid for the government being shut down. So I think there's a lot of people in America who are a little bit disenfranchised with what's happening in D.C. for real. And they're paying more attention to it. And it's going to be interesting to see if that hits, who that sort of anti-incumbent mood may hit. 2014, is it going to be a bad time for the Democrats? Is it going to be a bad time for the Republicans? I think there are some people who are narrowly hanging on to seats that won't be holding on to those seats afterwards. So this isn't the end of the story, but this is the beginning of a different kind of journey. And then, of course, the end of this president's legacy. And what is the legacy? What is the debt going to be at the end of Obama's term? And how is health care and history going to judge him? Because this is his. He owns the Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. And this is what he is going to be judged on. And I think that judgment is going to come around fast when it comes to those midterm elections. Any thoughts? You can send them to me. It's very easy. Just go to the website, americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you are in just like that.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopia Silver.